Zaire Franklin is my guest. He joins us via Zoom. Zaire, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Dude, it is awesome to have you here. It is great to talk to you. Great to meet you. You know, I mentioned off the top, you had an amazing season last year. You broke the Colts single season record for tackles with 167. I got to start right there. Given the amazing journey that you've taken to get here and the fact that you were injured in the season finale and then you came back later in that game and you got that mark, what does the record represent to you?
The record really just represents, you know, a culmination of a whole lot of work. You know, a journey, you know, full of valleys and peaks, you know, but I'm still going. You know, I'm just thankful for the success that I had personally last year, but really just looking forward to turning around and getting some more wins in that win column. And just building something to be proud of here in Indianapolis.
You know, I kind of thought you would answer it that way because that's what you're about, man. You're about the team. You're about the guys around you. You're about everything but yourself. But I want to ask you this. I mean, given how hard you've worked, I'm curious, like, what kind of fuel are you running on right now? Like, what's your mindset? When you hit the field, do you feel like, hey, man, I am that guy. I'm him. I'm the single season record holder for tackles in this joint. I made history? Or do you feel like that seventh rounder with that immense chip on your shoulder who's got to prove himself every single day at the facility? What's it feel like now?
Oh, man, it's crazy. I was actually just talking to one of my teammates yesterday. We was on the jugs at the practice. And I was just telling him, I'm like, look, man, it feels good to have the validation from the organization, from the fans, from my teammates. But, you know, I remember, you know, when I came in, they wouldn't even let me pick my number. You know, I remember, you know, not being a part of the team photo ops until my third year in the league. And I was already a team captain by then. You know, I remember what it was like to kind of be on the outside looking in. And I think, you know, just always thinking about those days and thinking about the days when I wish I was where I am now. Just continue to motivate me, continue to push him. But to be honest, you know, as you achieve a goal, your goals just get bigger. So, for me, you don't got time in the league to kind of sit around and think about where you are. You constantly just kind of push that envelope, constantly trying to raise the level. And I got goals that I didn't reach last year, so I got to continue to push it to get them.
Is Zaire Franklin joining us? Let me ask you this. I mean, guys taken where you were taken don't stick. They don't stick, much less star and lead the way you have. Did you always see yourself having this type of success in the league and the life that you have overall right now? Did you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's easy for everybody to say, everybody says, yeah. But, you know, to be honest, there were times where I doubted myself. There was times where, you know, I was like, well, man, am I just a special teamer? You know, am I just a guy that's a, you know, a good backup in the league? You know, just is that what the team needs me to win? But, you know, I always really just believed in myself. I always, you know, so I was going to take a bet on myself. And look, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to believe that I was the player that I always truly thought I was capable of being. And, you know, when I had my opportunity, I knew I just wasn't going to miss. So last year, just coming into the season, knowing I was going to have an opportunity to play for, you know, extended amount of time, I just knew once they let me on that field, I wasn't going to get off. And I was just going to prove to everybody in those buildings, everybody watching around the country that, you know, I deserve to be where I was supposed to be.
Right. And plus, you have to bet on yourself. If you're not willing to bet on yourself, why would anybody else? Now, everybody plays the game for different reasons. You made it pretty clear that you play the game in large part for both your mom and your grandmother, who both sadly passed away. Can you start with your mom? What was she like, and what do you remember about her?
Oh, man, she was sweet, soft-spoken. She was a dreamer. And, you know, just a long story short, she really just believed in me. She used to go around telling everybody, you know, I was going to be somebody one day. I was going to be a star. She had to drop out of college her sophomore year when she had me. For me, being the first person in my family to graduate college was a big deal. And it was a promise that I made to her before she passed. And I was glad that I was able to finish that. So she was just an inspiration. She's the reason why, you know, I believe I could achieve anything because, you know, she put that battery in my back from a young age.
I mean, that's beautiful. I was going to ask you about that. You promised her you would get that degree. Why was that so important to her? And then how gratifying was it for you to see it through and get it done?
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, your parents always tell you, look, you want to get something that they can't take away from you, you know, and for her, she was like, look, what you're doing on the field, what you're doing, you know, on the baseball field, football field, whatever I was playing at the time, she was like, look, that's cool, but you want to get something, once you got it up here, you know, they can never take it away from you, so, You know, getting that degree. And like I said, you know, being the first in my family to graduate college, you know, growing up, I didn't really have that many, you know, people that even went to college. I didn't really see people doing those type of things. So for me to set that standard for my family moving forward, I felt like it was just a big deal, not only for my children, but for my nieces and nephews as well.
Good for you. Zara Franklin joining us. What about your grandma? Did she know the game pretty well? And what was she like?
She was fiery, man. It's funny, if you was to talk to anybody from Philly growing up in West Oak Lane, they'll tell you that she was a fire on the sideline. She used to yell mid-game. She arguing with the refs. She was that type of fan and parent. So that's where I get all my trash talk and all that other stuff from. So all that fire and all that energy, that comes from her side.
Sarah, there's this great piece on you this week in The Athletic, and your Pop Warner coach said that your grandmother, tell me if this is true, your grandmother, when you were like 7, would get right up in your grill, look you in the eye right through the face mask and say, quote, "You're going to go out there and you're going to hit somebody." Like, is that how it really was? Was grandma like that?
My grandmother, God rest her soul, she was wild. She was crazy. She used to yell for me on the sideline. You don't make a play, you ain't coming home tonight. She used to just be joking, but she was just that. She was that type. She was just you people probably get in trouble for talking to their kids like that nowadays. But to be honest, it was just that hunger. She used to always tell me, "Be a hitter, not a looker. You know, go out there and play." And I think for her, she just wanted me to go out there, don't hesitate. You know, just go out there, play, have fun, and like, look, if you're gonna be on the field, you might as well go make a play. You might as well be known. So. That was just her, man. We out there to, you know what I'm saying, break heads and take names, you know, so that's kind of how she used to carry it.
So. I love that so much. If you're going to be out there, you might as well punch somebody in the face. You know, so tragically, though, Zaire, the two women that meant so much to you passed away 77 days apart. I'm curious, like, how were you able to process something as traumatic as that as such a young person? How did you get through that period?
To be honest, it was my village, you know. First and foremost, obviously my family, my aunt and my cousins that, you know, surrounded me. But to be honest, I had a great group of guys that I'm still talk to this day, still friends with to this day. You know, I even stayed at a friend's house for a month or so. They drove me to school when my parents couldn't drive me to school because I didn't have my license yet. And, you know, I just had a group of friends and a village that really wrapped their arms around me. And to be honest, I just threw myself into the game, you know, football and, you know, going to work out. It was a refuge for me. You know, it was somewhere I could go to kind of get my mind off of things. And, you know, I knew that, you know, I wanted to make them proud. And I felt like, you know, to sit around and sulk and feel bad about what happened. Obviously, you got to grieve and stuff. But I really just wanted to, you know, prove them right for all the different things that they spoke over me, all the prayers that they prayed for me, and all the dreams that they had for me. I just really wanted to prove something beyond even their imagination.
You know, I so appreciate your thoughts on that because that's not an easy topic. They sound like they were both absolutely amazing. And I know probably you and I would not be having this conversation right now if not for your mom and your grandmother. They sound amazing. Let me ask you about the team. The team used the 4th overall pick to draft quarterback Anthony Richardson. The guy was an absolute freak show, Zaire, at the combine. How has he looked so far to you at OTAs? And is he living up to all the advance hype? I know it's early, but is he living up to all that energy and hype so far?
I mean, you know, we don't in the locker room, we don't really pay attention to the hype. You know, it's cool to have, you know, a young boy that come in with a lot of glitz and glam. But, you know, I think the thing I love so much about Anthony is, man, he's all about the work. He's all about the grind, man. He come in early. He's putting that work in. You know, he's out to practice early. He's out to practice late. He's doing his best. And I'm not going to lie, man, he's making some plays. You know, obviously, when you first get out there, you know, you're going against, you know, a first team defense for the first time, things are going on. But as he settled in, he started to make plays. He's athletic, man. He makes some big throws. And I think just as he settled down, as he continued to get comfortable, continue to work with Coach Steichen and the offense and those guys getting in rhythm and routine, you know, I definitely think he has everything necessary to be special.
I appreciate that. You mentioned Coach Steichen. What about that? You get a brand new head coach in Shane Steichen. He joined the team after helping lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl. He was their O coordinator. He's only 38, third youngest coach in the NFL. What kind of an impression did he make on you when he first addressed the team? What's he like?
I think he's, you know, he's just a sharp guy. You know, I appreciate, you know, how young he is. I think he's just closer to, you know, our age, understands, you know, what kind of gets us to tick, understands the type of, you know, things that motivate us. And, you know, he's a guy that's kind of coming in and, you know, he's holding everybody accountable, holding everybody to the same standard. He doesn't shy away from, you know, I think tough conversations or talking about reaching our goals. But what is it going to take to reach our goals? It's going to take the hard work. It's going to take the commitment. It's going to take, you know, being that same guy coming in every single day. So just the energy that he just brings, you know, to the practice field, to the meeting room. And I think it's just, you know, it's influential. You can feel it, you know, when we out there practicing, everybody's hype, everybody's having a good time. So, you know, it's definitely been good so far.
Zaire Franklin joining us. I was going to ask you, like, the coaches, in your opinion, who are the coaches that have the most success right now? Is it the ones with the most innovative schemes, or is it something else? Is it something more intangible?
Well, I think OTAs is really just about building the foundation of your team, you know, so you know, it, obviously you want the coach that comes in that knows ball, you know, but, you know, pretty much everybody knows ball. But I feel like the guys that come in, especially as, you know, in that head coaching spot, you're setting a culture, you know, you're setting the foundation. The things that you're preaching, the things that you're talking, the things that you're working on now are going to be the things that you're going to have to lean on, you know, and we stuff. The things you're going to have to lean on when, you know, a star player goes down and now somebody else has to work through. But where you building that culture, if everybody continue to try to get better, where you building that culture, if everybody, you know, being able to depend on each other, everybody being able to lean on each other. Because those are the things that really make the difference. It's a long season, you know, it's full of highs and lows. And I think the teams with like the strongest foundations are the ones that's able to weather those storms and continue to get better, continue to build. So, I think, you know, he's done a great job of just really focusing on that. Obviously, he's a great coordinator. We all seen that from the Eagles run last year and then what is working in L.A. So, obviously, he's a talented guy when it comes to talking ball. But I really have a foundation that a team can stand on.
See, I get that. And you get a lot of that from the head coach. And then I wonder about, finally, if it starts at the very top, like, I'm going to be real straight about this. I can't get enough of Jim Irsay, Zaire. Like, I love this guy. And I love this guy because I've never seen an owner quite like this guy. He's such a different cat. He's a content machine. And I'm not looking to get you on the wrong side of the boss, man. I just have to ask, can you share a favorite Jim Irsay story? What's it like having him around? Do you have a story you can share? Can you throw us a bone? One bone.
Well, first of all, you ain't gonna get me in trouble. Me and Mr. Irsay, we good. But I would just say, I mean, I don't know if I got too many stories. I mean, we done had some crazy moments here with the Colts, you know what I mean? From, you know, being in the locker room with Luck or, you know, different situations where, you know, a car. You know, Mr. Irsay, he's always just kind of stood there. You know, even in our toughest moments, he's always been in the middle of the storm, been in that huddle. You know, he stands right there. He doesn't shy away from that. Even from my toughest moments, man, I think, you know, he's just extremely passionate about, you know, the Colts organization. It's a family-run thing, a family-run building. You know, a lot of organizations not like that. And I feel like, you know, that's why he's so passionate about it. That's why he puts so much into it because, you know, it's his family. And that's how everybody looks at it. So I think that's really what it comes down to. Like, he's in there. I'll just say it like that. He's in there. He's staying firm in it. Whether it's good or bad, highs and lows, you know, his feet's planted and you know, he's ready to go to war with us, whether the world's with us or the world's against us. So I think that's all you really would want from an owner too.
As I was going to say, that's what you want. That's exactly what you want. Zaire, you are a great player, a great dude, a great story. I'm so glad you and I finally came together. I appreciate you, man. Let's be sure and do it again soon, but great to have you on today. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on.